Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Tomorrow at the United States Supreme Court, the justices will hear a case involving what is called the Peace Cross. And at stake is the First Amendment Establishment Clause, in addition to all of these other memorials around the country. We're going to be talking about this very important case on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, this nearly 100-year-old Peace Cross that is in Maryland, that is a memorial to soldiers, people who died, men and women who died in the services in World War I. This particular cross is under attack, Matt, and two lower courts of appeals cases from the same court of appeals, but two different cases, ultimately found that this was unconstitutional under Supreme Court precedent. The Supreme Court could have allowed it to stand and moved on to another case, but they took the case, which I believe is a very good sign. The oral argument is tomorrow, and the decision will be handed down by the end of June. Matt, this is a great case. We filed a brief in this case asking for the Supreme Court to jettison some of these old precedents that have really caused confusion in what's known as the First Amendment Establishment Clause.
Yeah, and this is such nonsense, and the historical revisionism and the constitutional revisionism and judicial activism that we have seen over the years that have led us to this is absurd. The Establishment Clause in the First Amendment, as it's called, it wasn't referred to as the Establishment Clause by our founders. It's a mere 10 words, and it is the tool that anti-Christian separatists abuse to, you know, to borrow from Obama, to fundamentally transform America into their own anti-Christian self-image. The words are very clear. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And who do they mean when they say Congress? They mean the United States Congress shall make no law creating, and as Thomas Jefferson was clear to Benjamin Rush in a letter, that means that they will not have a federal Christian religion. They will not establish a Christian specific denomination like many of the colonies had on the books until the 1800s.
Yeah, if you go back to the original First Amendment, it's pretty easy to understand what they were talking about. They didn't want the federal government to take sides and actually prefer one Christian denomination over another Christian denomination. They didn't want a national established church like the Anglican Episcopal Church, as an example, on the federal level.
In Great Britain, right.
Right. The individual states, a number of them, continued to have, and Virginia is one of those, their own state-established religion, because that was not contrary to the First Amendment. The First Amendment just said Congress has no business, no authority regulating in this area. That's a state issue up to the individual states.
Exactly.
But the Supreme Court has changed it over time and continued to pervert it, misinterpret it. And then they created this thing regarding the Establishment Clause, the church-state issue, regarding government displays of religion, crosses, nativity scenes, In God We Trust, the pledge, one nation under God, anything of that nature. And they came up with these tests that have nothing to do with the Constitution. And these tests have caused confusion. As an example, back in 2005, when I argued the Ten Commandments case, in my case, out of Kentucky, the Supreme Court used what they called the Lemon Test, the bad test that we're asking them to overturn. In the other case, out of Texas, they used no test. And those two cases were argued the same day and decided the same day. So they use a test when they want to reach a certain result, and they don't use a test when they don't want to reach a different result. And you can't predict. It's just a matter of how many votes you get at the Supreme Court. So this case is up before the Supreme Court. I believe two things. One, that the Supreme Court will ultimately uphold this peace cross. I believe that the result will be favorable. Otherwise, they would not have taken this case. They could have just left it alone. I think they will uphold it because the implications would be all these memorials around the country would just simply be bulldozed, wiped out. And that includes even Arlington Cemetery. And two, and I don't know if they'll go this far, but I hope they do. I hope that they ultimately jettison these bad precedents and they adopt what we have urged them to, and that is a coercion test. And that means there is no Establishment Clause problem or issue unless the government forces you under penalty, physical force or penalty, to actually adopt a particular religious position or viewpoint or support a denomination, for example, a coercion test, a physical coercion test, which would be more consistent with the original intent of the First Amendment.
You know, this is crazy. This cross has been there for 93 years. It's a 40-foot cross, ironically, 5 miles from the U.S. Supreme Court, but it was built as a tribute to 49 men who gave their lives during World War I, and it's been paid for by their families, by businesses, and the American Legion.
That's right, and it's been there, like you said, almost 100 years, 93
years.
Yeah.
And it is a memorial.
And now they're raising the stink
about it. And it's no different than the memorial in Arlington Cemetery where you see all the crosses. The only difference is that it's a bigger size.
Right.
But if anything, you know, the ones in Arlington Cemetery, it is like many places around the country. There are angels in some of these government cemeteries honoring our men and women from the armed services. There's crosses. There's Stars of David. You'll see Star of David, for example, on some of the Jewish tombs or grave sites in Arlington. If the Supreme Court agrees with the lower court, which I don't think they will, and they say, yes, you can bulldoze this. Imagine the sight of that, Matt. They'd come in and they would literally bulldoze this 40-foot tall, 93-year-old memorial cross. And then what would happen? Dominoes would fall.
Right.
Arlington
what would
National
stop them from
Cemetery.
Going to seminary yeah. and start bulldozing those crosses? I mean, it gets ridiculous, all because the American Humanist Association said that this cross discriminated against patriotic soldiers who are not Christian. That's ridiculous.
It's so absurd and offensive. And of course, anti-Christian groups like the American Humanists, like the ACLU, Roger Baldwin, the founder of the ACLU, is quoted as saying for his organization, quote, communism is the goal. And what is part and parcel of communism? Well, Karl Marx, the high priest of communism, he once said, the first requisite for the happiness of the people is the abolition of religion. And the ACLU's own promotional materials dovetail off that. They say, the message of the Establishment Clause is that religious activities must be treated differently from other activities to ensure against governmental support of religion. And that is utter nonsense.
It's really nonsense. It's really dangerous. You know, there was a case when we've done a lot of Ten Commandment cases around the country, and won many of these cases. While we were litigating, it wasn't our case, but it was out of Pennsylvania. It went to the Court of Appeals. Fortunately, it's the same Court of Appeals where Alito used to be before the Supreme Court Justice, the so-called Third Circuit Court of Appeals. But the lower court ultimately ruled that the Ten Commandments that was etched in the stone of the building, this was a courthouse outside, it was actually carved into the actual wall of the building, Ten Commandments, that it had to be removed. And during the pendency of the appeal, they put a cloth over it so you couldn't see it. Fortunately, the Court of Appeals reversed and that Ten Commandments is still there. But they had, if they lost that case, they would have had to literally chisel it out of the side of the building. That's what would happen with all these cases. There's another thing that the Supreme Court could do, which they may well do. They may do all of these. And that is rule that you don't have standing, you don't have the right to sue under the Establishment Clause just because you're offended. That anomaly invented by the Supreme Court is different than anything else. You can't sue any other place just because you're offended. You have to have a personal injury. Just because you drive by something, you don't like what you see, is no reason to provide you the platform to sue. But the Supreme Court created an exception so that the floodgates would be open for anyone who's offended to sue under the Establishment Clause for these kinds of displays, nativity scenes and so many other things. The good news is this is at the Supreme Court tomorrow. I believe the handwriting is on the wall, but you can never count your chickens before they hatch, so to speak. So pray for this argument, pray for the case, and not just tomorrow, because they'll vote this week as to which way they're going. But sometimes, as we know, like in the Obamacare law, they change their vote after the initial vote. So pray until this case is actually decided late June this year. For more information, visit lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.